Meeting to order for Wednesday, November 16th at 5:20.
6:20.
6:20. And we'll start with roll call.
Karen Ward, here.
Dennis Scott, here.
Kathy Aiden, here.
Trey Pomond, in here.
And Stu Martinez is here. And the mayor is absent by prior arrangement, and staff will be introduced yourself.
Corey Misley, city manager.
Kate Opers, public works manager.
Ashley Williams, county clerk.
Patty Morgan, administrative assistant.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
City to basically fine people and just
have someone go around and pass, you know, be really kind of overblown with this. Did the counselors really consider when they adopted this ordinance that not only includes maintenance of the sidewalk for snow, but if there's a crack in the sidewalk, a crack in the state of Oregon's sidewalk out in front of my building, I'm responsible for repairing it. Not the state of Oregon, it's their sidewalk. That's basically like passing an ordinance that if your neighbor's lawn needs to be mowed, that in order to make the city beautiful, you need to go mow his lawn. Kind of not necessarily fair to all of the people who are living in this community. Now, this is a fine ordinance, I think, for maybe some place that where it doesn't snow a lot, or in maybe an established community where there are sidewalks and lawns and so on. Because this does require that I maintain a lawn and get rid of any weeds and take care of the trees, not necessarily on my property, but on the property adjacent to me. This ordinance is kind of out of line for our community. Stu was kind enough to earlier in the evening suggest that when this city was founded, that they were given certain responsibilities. And I remember the comment being that the city of La Pine was going to be a lean, mean city machine. And, I'm sorry, I didn't want to get you excited, Stu.
I'm sorry.
I would like the council to maybe reconsider this ordinance. Now, I don't doubt that there's a place for an ordinance like this, or that the streets, the sidewalks don't need to be maintained. I'm not an unreasonable person. But to just unload this on the citizens of this community, especially the business people, who have a hard enough time, a lot of them, keeping their businesses maintained, and all you have to do is drive up and down some of the streets and look at how things are maintained, to say, this is what we're going to do. It's just basically you guys stepping into the community from on high, the ivory tower looking down on the rest of us and suggesting that we need to take care of things and we need to take care of things for somebody else so that the community can look good for all of us. And okay, but to tax the property owners to do that the way this is done is, I'm sorry, I don't feel it's appropriate for the city of La Pine to have an ordinance that is this broad. The last thing I need to mention is, it's in this ordinance, you guys write that you're not responsible for anything. So it's right here on the end, owner liability. The owner of the property next to, I'm the owner, I'm responsible for the property next to mine that you're telling me I'm responsible for. And then you write in here that you're not responsible for anything, ever. And that I'm supposed to hold you harmless for anything that happens on property I don't own. Does that sound right? I know some of you, if you're a conservative Republican, you probably complain that our Congress in Washington, when they pass a law, that, and there's a clause in it that says it doesn't apply to congressmen. Is that right? So I would like to see the city take a look at this again and review the ordinance and maybe make it a little bit fairer for the members of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I intend to speak to, but during the public hearing.
I'm sorry?
The public hearing portion on the ordinance.
The snow removal ordinance?
Yeah. Oh. Just make a couple comments. Thank you.
Okay. Moving along. We'll be removing bills and invoices from the consent agenda.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. So it gave you a staff report about why we've removed the bills and invoices from the consent agenda. And there's some history there. Mainly Stu was recusing himself due to the conflict of interest with the bill payable to Wolf for garbage. And in doing so, he couldn't vote on anything related to the consent agenda. So if he wanted to call up a pay estimate or a reimbursement or say there was a correction to the meeting minutes, he couldn't do that. And we didn't think that was fair. So we talked to Brenda, the CPA, and she said it doesn't need to be on there. It was on there in the past because when it was a smaller city and there was less staff, and before we had internal control policies that built a secure, sound system for paying the bills, it was prudent to have the council review them. And at that time, there would be an entire packet of bills in your consent agenda or check register or something similar. So on her advice, we removed it from the consent agenda. Openings do have to talk about consent agendas whenever he wants. And if you have any questions about any of the invoices, you can always come ask us. Any questions about the staff report in general, I'd be happy to answer them. But that's pretty much my whole report.
Well, yeah, I just want to say that I agree with that. And it takes two counselors to sign the checks, and when we signed them tonight, we could, you know, you can go through them and see where all the bills are paid, what the bills are doing, you know, what we're paying, who we're paying to, what it's for. So I don't think they need at all to have the bills in the consent agenda. And if anybody's concerned about it, they can come in and see where we pay. Or come in when we're signing the bills before a council meeting. You know, I'll say when I first came here, it helped me to sign the checks to see where the money's going to. So, and that's available to any of us.
I don't have anything. That was the norm for so many years, and it was the norm when I was at the fire district.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so, you know, I didn't think too much about it, and so I'm glad that you took it a step further and got some new advice.
Right.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next item is ordinance 2016-11. Mr. Manager.
Thanks, Stu. Yeah, this is an ordinance of the City of Lapine concerning snow and ice removal within the City of Lapine, prohibiting parking along designated snow routes and during emergency snow removal operations, providing penalty and declaring an emergency. We had a draft of the snow, I'm calling this kind of the vehicle in the snow removal policy. I haven't quite come up with a good short version to describe it. But nonetheless, we had a copy of this in our work session last month, and we talked about it. And I've been working, Jake and I and other staff have been working with legal counsel to put this together. We currently do not have a policy that says vehicles cannot be parked in the right-of-way right now if there is a snowstorm. And we saw it last year, in particular, with the amount of snow we got and the type of snow we got, that in several parts of the city, mostly neighborhoods with not as wide of roads and certain things on the side, bioswales that people like to park in and think that it's designed for parking, although it's not, and then also in certain cul-de-sacs where you have several folks living in a duplex or in a home, and you've got a lot of cars and they're out on the street. So what we need, and I think we've talked about the need, and now it's a matter of putting it into writing and policy, is the ability for the city, when there is sufficient snow, to have those cars removed. And that is so that when the snowplow operations, the contractors we work with to go plow the roads, are pushing the snow, they need somewhere to put it. Last year, in Huntington Meadows in particular, if we would have gotten another 6 inches or foot of snow on top of what we had, there would have been nowhere to put it. And they literally would not have been able to even plow a single travel lane for folks to leave, for emergency vehicles to get through, for buses, etc., all that type of stuff. So the policy, the way it was written, when when I presented it last time during the work session was a bit confusing, and I don't think it accomplished what we were trying to accomplish. So what I want to draw your attention to, everything else in this ordinance is essentially the same. About 5% of this ordinance has changed, and the section I want to draw your attention to is section 5. It's on page 3. And in particular, section 5.2, which says parking. Whenever accumulation of snow reaches 4 inches or more, parking will be prohibited on snow routes, except as allowed under ORS. And there's some specific exceptions in there. But the gist of it is that no parking will be allowed in right-of-way. So that includes the swales in Huntington Meadows. That includes any other pieces of right-of-way on city streets when there is 4 inches or more of snow. That's a policy. And part of the staff's job, if this ordinance is adopted, will be to educate the community about this policy. Jake's already been looking into some signage, and we would go to some lengths to make sure people are aware of this. Section 5.1 says that by council resolution, so what you likely will see if we proceed with this ordinance is that next month there will be a resolution put together that designates certain snow routes in the city. And this, I want to caution to a degree, this, like anything that designates certain snow routes in the city, and this, I want to caution to a degree, this, like anything else, is us building a city and how to run a city properly. I remember when the business license program went into effect, and you have to start somewhere. I understand some of the issues or concerns around the sidewalk ordinance. You have to start somewhere. We will have more sidewalks. We will have more landscaped areas and right of way in the future. We will have more people parking on the street. We will always get snow. We will always need to remove it. So a designation of certain snow routes and some this winter to just get the policy in place, see how it plays out, and then obviously go from there and just get better. The other section, two sections I wanted to point out were section 7, which is the authority to remove a vehicle. And that basically says that with prior notice, going to some significant lengths of making sure that the person is aware. And it would not be our intention to go and tow vehicles. We want vehicles just moved from the right-of-way. But you have to carry a stick sometimes too. If the vehicle is there and we have to plow, we have the ability spelled out in section 7 to notice and to have the vehicle towed. So that's part of this ordinance. The final piece, section 10, before I take some questions, is signage, which I already alluded to this, is that Jake's been working and putting together some and looking into cost estimates and kind of prepping the order because it's the middle of November and we know it's gotten a little more wintry in the last few days and it's on its way. So this is the section on signage, which is saying that we would want to, and we would post signage that said no parking if snow accumulation over 4 inches. Just again, we're trying to be transparent. I want this to be a surprise. We need to get out and educate, let people know what the policy is. But in my recommendation, we need this policy so that we can properly perform snow removal services. That's all I have for the staff report.
Council? Well, we have talked about this, and I think it's important because we can't go through what we did last year. I guess my only question is, for instance, Riley, where I live, is two streets. Would you have one on each? Would you put a sign on each corner or just one entering the whole Huntington Meadows, or how would that be?
We did a drive-through out there a couple weeks ago before I anticipated how many we would need for the whole town.
Okay.
We looked at Huntington Meadows, three being on each street, like three on Heath, three on Cassidy, or two on Cassidy, and three on Riley, just because Riley and Heath come off of Huntington as well. So one, as you come in, if you take a right on Riley, you'd have one reminding you right there, and if you took a left on Riley, probably you'd have one reminding you right there. Just so it's very evident what we're trying to get across.
What about Betty with the building going on?
Probably the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was trying to say that we would get this policy in place and we would have some designated snow routes and we would put some signs out, we know, for the most part, where the trouble zones are right now. Mm-hmm. So that would be our focus this year. Do we add more snow routes next year? As more grounds, do we add more snow routes? Do we add more signs? Absolutely. This is the start of a new policy to try to make sure that we can provide the services. Because we need to do that. So that's a good question.
Well, I'm in favor of it. We desperately need it. So.
Well, yeah, I think this is the city growing last year. Vic Russell, I mean, people wonder why he couldn't plow the roads or why he couldn't plow them quick enough. Well, when you're stuck on one street with cars parked in it, you can't move, you can't plow. That's a time consuming. That's costing, you know, the other customers, the other city residences, time of the roads not being plowed. And we have nothing in place that says a person just can't park out on the street and leave it there all winter long. I mean, we gotta have something. I mean, this is just a no-brainer. We gotta have it. We are a city now. I mean, we don't live in the country. This is a city. We have to keep our roads plowed. That's all I have to say.
Well, I could go on all day about this. You know, I'll take this hat off and put this hat on. You know, having a business within the city, we need something, because there's nothing worse than trying to go out and do your job and not be able to do it. You know, and you're right, Dennis, it does affect other people. And if you can't get to the grocery store, if you can't go down to the fire station to have your blood pressure checked, if you can't get to the doctor's office, you know, it starts a domino effect. And it may seem insignificant to some people. You know, well, why are you sitting here discussing signs? Well, because it does affect everybody, and it affects the city, it affects our citizens, it affects our business. So, it is something that's long overdue. Now, if we can just make sure our contractors, you know, own up to their contracts. I know things happen, you know, trucks break down, cars are parked in the way, there's delays, I understand that. But this is another tool that we need in our toolbox. So, I'm all for it, 100%. And then, of course, next year we'll reevaluate and there'll be changes, I'm sure. It's a living document, just like all of our documents. So we'll reevaluate. We have to.
And we did change it to 4 inches now, I see.
Yeah, it's spelled out. As you probably remember in the past, there were a few different, that past version, there were a few different designations that they gave discretion to the city manager and the public works manager. This explicitly spells out that there is no parking on designated snow routes if there is 4 inches or greater snow accumulation. So it is there's no ambiguity there. Unless you want to get your ruler out and then whatever, you can go down that road, but we're not trying to go down that road. The intent and purpose is clear. That's the important part. If this policy is adopted, staff is going to sprint in the next 2 months, month and a half, as winter is here, to get this out and let people know, get signs up, and try to get the word out as best as possible. And we will be working with people to let them know this policy is in place. Like I said, it's not our intention to be towing vehicles. It's our intention for the streets to be cleared so we can plow them. One thing I should say, too, is we do need to remember to take public comment here in the middle of this public hearing on this before a decision is moved to.
Good. Thank you.
Well, the other thing, too, is that we aren't just towing the car. We're getting a hold of the owner and warning them and giving them a chance to get out of there. You know, we're doing everything possible to give them the benefit of the doubt. And also, since I've been here, I've never seen anybody in the city fined yet. You know, we try to work with everybody.
Okay, I'll open it up to public comment for this ordinance.
Gary Gordon, hello. It's loud, isn't it? Wonderful. Park and Rec Director, Board of Directors, Chairman of that. I'm a Lapine resident over on Lowell Way. Words, obviously, support of the ordinance, but it does reference the sidewalk ordinance, which was ordinance number 2016-07. And it appears that I think the right thing to do would be to consider that sidewalk ordinance also a living document, as it was. And I'll just give you an example of it. The under the sidewalk ordinance, the Park and Rec District is required to get rid of all that snow along that long sidewalk. And it's illegal, technically, to put it back in the streets. We're not going to be doing that. We could shove it over the fence. But there's a problem that happens. There's no bioswale, and when snow comes along, it blasts it right back up on our sidewalk again. Now, the ordinance talks about having the stuff done within 6 hours of daylight. But, you know, during the daylight time, you've got the snowplow coming through, and basically we don't have to remove it till 6 hours after the next daylight. You know, I'm sure we'd like to, but, you know, we've got staffing issues and how do we get it done issues and that kind of stuff. So I think that, you know, yes, there is need for a sidewalk ordinance and that kind of thing, but I think it's also important to, over this next snow season, to continue to gather input from the people that are most affected by it so we can continue shaping it into a realistic policy. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other public comment?
I forgot something, guys.
No, no, that's fine. That's why we're here.
Rex Lesueur again. One of the comments I'd like to make when I was talking to Corey earlier was about the method of snow removal. One of the things when I saw this come on my desk, I said, okay, let's see what it's going to cost to do this. Because remember, we might end up having it done 40 times.
Hey, Rex, real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you, but is this, and I just want to clarify, is this a public comment for the ordinance we're talking about right now or for the sidewalk ordinance that you were previously talking about?
Yes.
The sidewalk, the sidewalk ordinance, right?
The sidewalk.
Okay, so there's public comment at the end that's open to any topic. You're supposed to, if you have public comment on this ordinance, you're supposed to make public comment on the ordinance. I'm not trying to cut you off.
Then the comment I'd like to make is, so how's this going to work? So someone's got their car parked there. It's the middle of the night. It snows 6 inches between midnight and 4 a.m. The snowplow is going to arrive at 4 o'clock in the morning. The snowplow is going to go around the car and put a berm about this high around that car. Now, you've got seniors that might own that car. Well, what do we do about the senior citizen who's got their car on the street? And you guys have just burned them in.
Hopefully, if that's a snow route, you probably shouldn't be parking there. Might be a sign that says no parking when snow accumulates 4 inches or more.
One of the things they do in New York City, since we're trying to be a proper city,
right,
is they have alternate sides of the street parking so that one day you can park on one side of the street during the winter, and the next day you can park on the other side of the street. So the plows can come by and clear one side of the street, and then the next day they clear the other side of the street. There are ways to allow people who don't maybe have enough room in their parking in their driveways to maybe continue to use the street. So maybe the document needs to be, you know, amended to look at that. So,
thank you. See, it's a living document. I like that idea.
I think we have to emphasize that we got to start somewhere. And we are, this is just starting somewhere. I mean, next year we may have to change the whole thing. I mean, but we have to start somewhere. I mean, it was such a disaster last year, even with the sidewalks. People couldn't walk down sidewalks. We had to start somewhere. So this is a start. And those are good comments. Well, it's a work in progress, I guess.
Okay, any other comment on this ordinance? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the public comment on this ordinance. And
move on to the next item.
Well, call for a motion to adopt.
To adopt.
And with an ordinance, we need a roll call vote.
Got it. Okay. You can tell I didn't do that. Don't do this very well. Okay, public comment is closed. On ordinance 2016-11.
I make a motion we pass ordinance
2016-11.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt ordinance 2016-11. All those in favor by roll call.
Karen Ward, aye.
Dennis Scott, aye.
Kathy Egan, aye.
Stu Martinez, aye. Motion unanimously passes. Next on the agenda is resolution 2016-19, a resolution amending the City of La Pines resolution 2016-10. Staff.
I'm going to pass it to Jake on this one.
Yeah, we've talked about this before numerous times. This is your septage, outside septage dumping. There's two different rates now. There's going to be a 6 cents a gallon rate for local vendors that are pumping septic tanks in the 97739 and 97737 zip codes. And anywhere outside that area is going to pay 9 cents a gallon to use our septic receiving facility out of the wastewater treatment plant. If you guys have any questions, feel free to shoot them my way.
I don't want to do all the talking here, but we went over this many times. I mean, and part of the reason we did it is we're getting too much sewage from outside vendors.
Right.
And our rates now, even with the rise, is they're just 4 cents less than then. And we've discussed this puts a little more money in our pocket, and that's why we have two rates. We don't want to raise the rates of the local people. And I just think it's a very policy. We've discussed it at length.
Yeah, I'm in favor of it.
Well, I know staff put a lot of time into it, particularly Public Works. We had a good report a couple months ago on it, and I think we need to be fair to our local folks that take their sewage out to the plant, but yet keep the integrity open to outside folks by not overcharging. So I'm in favor of the change myself. Anything else, staff?
Just for educational purposes, for those in the audience, you know, most people that live in La Pine don't live inside the city limits, and as a result of that, they have septic systems, and those tanks need to be pumped. And local contractors use our facility, the city's facility, to get rid of that septage. It's been 4.5 cents for decades. It's significant. It's the lowest rate in the entire state. The septage receiving station, if you saw where folks, contractors dump those things, it is not how it should look, so we are looking to upgrade that facility. It's actually in the capital plan that we talked about just earlier today with the SDCs. It's in our master plans, and our goal is to have that project underway next summer. So this is kind of in conjunction with that. As council's already said, Jake did a lot of research on this. It's a necessary step. That's about all I have to add.
So now I'll open it up to public comment. Is that correct?
No. No public hearing on the resolution.
Okay.
So if council's good just deliberating it, it'd be just asking for a motion.
Any further deliberation? I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we accept resolution number 2016-19.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Next on the agenda is Central Oregon Public Works Partnership.
Staff. Take it away, Jake.
Yeah, we've talked about this. This is an IGA, intergovernmental agreement to help each other out in certain circumstances, emergencies. Basically, any type of situation, we can help each other out. This would take care of it and make it legal. So, any questions about this, feel free to ask away.
I don't have any. I think this is something that will benefit Lapine and
absolutely
make work easier for everybody. And this is a good thing.
I agree. I mean, we talked about it. Got to do it. What we have.
Karen?
I think this was discussed at our last work session.
Correct.
And I think everyone was pretty well in favor of it, you know, of it at that time, and I think it's a good idea, and who knows, you'll probably be using it in the next week or so.
I think we'll definitely benefit from it the most, but that's okay.
Now, who, well, never mind. I'll talk to you later.
Sure.
There's a rhetorical question, I'm sorry. What do we need to do with this staff?
I think it would be best for the record if someone saw fit to make a motion to approve the Central Oregon Public Works intergovernmental agreement.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Next is a COIC, Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy.
I will be brief on this item. Number 11, the COIC, Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council, Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. So Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council is the body in Central Oregon that represents the Tri-County region, Crook, Jefferson, and Deschutes County, and then all the cities that are inside those counties. And every 5 years, essentially, they put together a plan for economic development strategies that they can try to assist cities or counties or regions with to try to further economic development. And economic development is loosely defined. I mean, if you think about adequate infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, you need that for economic development to move goods back and forth. So that's just an example. So they're going through this process right now, and it'll be updated in 3 years in 2019. I just want to hit real quick. I've been working with Scott Aycock at COIC and putting together a couple proposals for Lapine, which I just want to mention include hopefully maybe trying to get some spec buildings, some shell buildings built in the industrial park. We have land. There's a demand, from what I've been told and what I've seen, for space in the industrial park. However, we don't have any buildings there, really, that are very low vacancy. So that's one item that I'm putting in there. The east side of the Highway 97 streetscape project, I'm going to be putting in there. So that's, you know, we've got grant funds and an ODOT project that's coming through in 2018 for the west side to continue all the way from basically the border between the ODOT yard and Ray's to bring it all the way down and connect with the west side here in front of City Hall. So putting the east side in that package, I thought, was important. So those are two of the items, and I'm working with Scott, have a call with him tomorrow to see if there's any other items. He had mentioned, which I thought was interesting, the idea of, and these are just projects that could happen if, say, they find funding and they come to us and say, hey, do you really want to try and make this work? Or basically, they're looking to kind of connect some high-level dots. Another project that he mentioned, which I thought was interesting, would be actually having COIC act as mediator and sort of facilitate some meetings between the city, the parks district, and other groups in the city to get a sense for, you know, is everyone on the same page? Is everyone kind of walking in lockstep for where we want to be? We want to be in 5 years or 10 years when you start looking at these longer-term planning documents. I know the park district's looking at their comprehensive plan right now. We have a comprehensive plan, we have a transportation system plan, we have other documents that spell out where we want to be. We have to plan it or else we'll never get there. So that was one interesting idea I thought he kind of proposed, and he wants to talk a little bit more about that. So I basically just kind of want to let you know that's one side thing that I've been looking into and putting together, and it comes up every 5 years, so it hadn't come up for a while, so just a little reminder on that. That's all.
Just to add to that, I go to those COIC meetings, and starting January 1st, I hope to continue going to them. And I'm going to put like emails out. It's a whole communication thing. Emails out to all my meetings I go to, of highlight everything that takes place and make sure all the council members, even staff, knows what goes on in these meetings. Because there's a lot going on. COIC, they have a lot of money to give out. They pick out their top projects they want to give out to. I mean, it's been, our mayor has done a good job of being there and promoting Lapine, so we have got a lot of money out, and that's going to continue. The thing I'm going to change is I'm just going to put emails out to everybody what goes on at these meetings, whether it's CO, you know, Central Oregon Cities or COIC, and anybody else that goes anything, I hope they would continue that process too. That's great.
Thank you, sir.
Do you want to say anything about this? We keep passing while
I noticed it looked like that's what's coming here.
Can yes.
Will you save it for staff comments and I'll bring it up and talk about it?
Okay.
Is that fair? And then if someone has something else to say in council comments, you may.
Okay, next on the agenda is code enforcement update.
Code enforcement update.
Oh.
Code enforcement update. Code enforcement update. Did everyone get that?
Yeah.
So when Rick came down, and I appreciate this habit of his, and I do try to do it as much as possible. Sometimes I get a little sucked into the office and into my desk and into the emails and all that stuff. But, you know, Rick, rightly so, had come down the first time in a while. He'd taken a lap through the industrial park, which I like to do, and through Cable, which I like to do, and through some other neighborhoods, and just kind of got a lay of the land. And he brought, and a couple other council members brought to my attention some offenses, which I went and properly documented. You know, I should have included in the packet the letter that we put together, and I'm happy to show you anytime you want to come in. It's about a 10-12 page letter. It's a page that explains what ordinance they're in violation of, and it's a very well spelled out letter saying, you know, we're not saying you're necessarily violating. It looks like you might be. You know, contact the city. We want to talk about this, find out what's going on, and find a remedy to it. That's the cover page. Then there's pictures with date stamps that document. Then we include the printout of the property that from Deschutes County Dial that shows maybe they're paying on the property taxes or anything else. It's all the information on the property. And then we include specific sections that are highlighted out of the ordinances, whether it's the nuisance ordinance, for junk, whether it's the zoning ordinance for RVs are not considered dwellings. So that's the process for putting those together. We sent out about 3 weeks ago, two weeks ago, actually it wasn't that long ago, six letters, and I've talked to four of the people about the letters. Two people haven't gotten back to me, but four people have, and there's been varying situations. One is someone was injured and, you know, he let people bring stuff, prized possessions to his property for too long, and he's trying to go the other way. Another one was someone who's having a manufactured home delivered, and it was delivered last week, and so he'd been, you know, he told me that trailer's gone and they got rid of that junk truck and this and that. So some good updates. Another one was a trailer that actually had been there for a long time, up on Burgess, pretty visible area, and she owned the home and property for 20 years and wasn't aware that it was a violation, and she proceeded to tell me that the person living in it was someone who didn't have somewhere else to go, and that she didn't charge any rent for that person, and that, you know, they're looking for other housing right now. And I proceeded to, you know, we had a great conversation about we're trying to get more affordable multifamily units in here so people aren't living in trailers, and it was a good exchange of information, but it adds a little bit of the, it's not just black and white in terms of, you know, there's a nuisance violation or not. Now, the letter should always be sent, and that conversation should always be had. So I think that's the overarching point I'm trying to make there. In terms of keeping those letters and these violations in the queue, it's going to be a combination of things, and Jake and I have talked about this. We now have a camera for every public works vehicle. So the trucks have cameras in them. The public works guys know in general, you know, what the violations are, and should take pictures and share that with Jake and I. Jake is going to be designating some of his time every week, you know, probably a couple hours to start at this point, spending time on code enforcement. Whether that's, you know, responding to people, whether that's taking pictures, whether that's drafting the letters and getting those out, you know, that will be a small piece of what he does. So that's an update on that front. Also, you know, I got in touch with the new John Griley. I don't know if that name rings a bell. It was a Deschutes County Code Enforcement Officer who used to cover this area. So I had a good rapport with John, and Rick had a good rapport with John. John now covers kind of Redmond North in Deschutes County. And so now Chris DeBoney is the new guy, and I've made contact with Chris, and I have him on a couple cases. They're mostly looking at the trailers and the septage on the ground and kind of the more offensive pieces of that part of this whole discussion. But I think what I'm trying to say is we're going to be more proactive, try to be work smarter, not harder on this, and try to keep it as something that we're constantly have a few letters or so in the queue trying to get remedied. So this is just a kind of a broad update. If you see some, let me know. I've had other folks from the community come in with complaints. I've had public works committee members with complaints. We got that one resolved. You know, so they kind of come in here and there, and we're going to do our best to keep doing that. So just an update.
Any comments on his update? Okay. You have a lot of them out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be delivering one tomorrow.
I'll see you then.
Okay. Well, I mean, it ties up that, you know, people wonder, that's your job.
It's all connected. It's all connected.
And some of it, unfortunately, affects our children.
Oh.
You know,
absolutely.
And that's the sad part. You know, listening to you talk, I'm sitting here thinking about this one, and it's like, oh my God.
Well, I'll just say I'm glad you have Jake involved in this, because he's on the belt, and we know Corey, and, you know, you're an office person. You've got a lot to do here, so thanks, Jake.
Yeah, we're sitting down tomorrow. We're going to go over the protocol, how we go through the paperwork end of it, because I haven't really set any out yet, just taking pictures, so it's going to bring you in the loop on that in the morning.
Excellent. Next on the agenda is other matters, and I don't recall any other matters being added. So, public comment. This is it.
This is it. This is my chance? Okay.
Thank you for being patient.
No problem. Rex LeSueur again. One of the things when I was talking to Corey about the snow removal ordinance is that when I heard about it, I said, I know someone with an ATV with a snowplow. I can ask them to do this. That would require them to put the snow blade down, go down the sidewalk once, maybe back, and then be done, and maybe in the, I think I've got 300 feet of sidewalk to maintain for you. I'm saying for you. But the person refused to do it, refused to even consider being a contractor and going through that, because if they happen to get their ATV off of the sidewalk and onto the street, the Deschutes County will give them a ticket. And this person was looking to be, thinking this was a great opportunity for them because they could, with an ATV that they already have, maybe make a couple of $1,000 every time in the snow if they were able to maybe contract with the Park and Rec and some of the other people, because one individual with one machine could do hundreds of feet of snow plowing in a very short period of time, reducing our cost, or I should actually, it's reducing my tax. So one of the things I would like to add, I'd like to have you suggest to add to this ordinance, is that if we're going to have it, let's recognize the reality of the fact that there are other ways of removing snow than having me with my saddle back out there with a shovel, or me trying to find a young man like our student counselor here and giving him $10 an hour to do it, which I'm sure he wouldn't,
If anybody's tried to hire anybody to do manual labor in this community, you would know how difficult that is. So maybe that's something that you guys could look at in the short term to allow ATVs on the streets during snowstorms to help us remove our snow. Thank you.
Thank you, Rex. That's a good idea. And I know that's happened in the past where Deschutes County has opened it up to snowmobiles because we couldn't plow the streets enough, that the vehicles couldn't get down, so they allowed snowmobiles on the roads, even though they required licensing. And nobody had a license. So.
Well, they're not allowed, period.
Yeah. Well, they
license or no license.
They made an exception that year.
Maybe you should put it in the ordinance. Maybe you should amend the ordinance.
We can definitely, living document.
there also, I will say, there's, when we're talking about the right-of-way, we're talking about the sidewalks, potentially a swale, and then also the street. So words matter and definitions matter. That's why Gary's a former attorney. That's why the definition sections of these ordinances or any legal documents are extensive and spell out exactly what is, and it is, and all that junk. So I don't know, I haven't talked to Lieutenant DeLuca or any of the Deschutes County law enforcement who provides law enforcement on county roads. Huntington is a county road. The highway is a state road, state highway. State patrol comes through, all that. I hesitate. I wonder, I don't know, if law enforcement would give someone a ticket on an ATV going 2 miles an hour, if that, with a plow on the front and on a sidewalk pushing snow to the side. At some point, we can't, this ordinance could be 500 pages long if you want to get in on that. I don't think that that's, I doubt there would be an issue. If there is, bring that to the council and we will talk about it when there is an issue. I understand that the person said that they're hesitant to do it, but I don't know. I don't know what role that the council and in this ordinance we would say, you know, explicitly spelling out, and then if we would even have jurisdiction to do it, because we don't have jurisdiction over county roads or over the state highway. We have very few roads that we have jurisdiction over. And if we took jurisdiction of those other roads, we'd be having a whole other conversation that would be much bigger and broader and more expensive and cumbersome and all that other stuff. So it's a balance, it's complicated. As Rick would say, the devil's in the details. And sometimes, I don't think we need to make a mountain out of a molehill if there wouldn't be an issue with this. So again, in my mind, it's let's see what happens and we'll go from there.
Any other public comment?
I'm going to step out of my little seat here and become a manager of the senior center. One of the things that the people have been saying to me, because I've been looking for someone to clear our sidewalk, okay? They want to know what I'm going to do after I clear it. My answer was, I'm going to spread something down so that you don't fall and break your neck, okay? That's their main concern. Once we take it down, are we going to be able to keep it clear enough so that the seniors from next door that are going to use that sidewalk are not going to fall down and break their necks. So that's been a concern, and that's a concern of the man that shovels our parking lot and what he actually is going to have to use to do that sidewalk to keep from cracking a sidewalk. So it is a catch 22 here. So that being said.
Public comments, closed public comments, staff comments.
I saw this passed down to me and maybe someone else trying to pass it down as well. This is the community funding request application from the Honor Guard American Legion requesting $80 to purchase flags to place on the veterans' graves at the Pine Cemetery. This was for Veterans Day, which, as we all know, has already passed. So we already had given them this $80. I made an administrative decision to give them $80 so that they could purchase these flags, but it was in your consent agenda instead of as an item to discuss, because I felt that the amount was rather insignificant and that the cause was worthy. So I made it, so it was in your consent agenda for official approval. If there's any questions on it, I'm happy to answer. I don't do that often or ever. Maybe this is the first time. So just a heads up on that.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Stu.
Is it on that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did we obligate ourselves for 2 years with that, or is that just for this year? Because that, when I read it, it said if we began it, it meant that we were going to do a 2-year type thing.
They say this would be a continuing project every 2 years. The Honor Guard would also contribute to purchase these graveside flags. My understanding is that the $80 goes to help the project for 2 years. That's how it was explained to me. So outside of this $80, there's no funds being sent to the American Legion.
Okay, staff comments.
Real quick, and I know Stu maybe was going to say something about this, but we did interview some candidates for the new SLED area manager, and that was this past Monday. So more to come on that in the next month, I would say. So I won't say anything else on that. I saw most of you and many of you in the audience at the open house last night on the water, wastewater improvements and expansion project. I won't go into great length there. I do want everyone to know that if you have questions, come down to City Hall, call, ask. If you want a copy of the PowerPoint, we'll share that. If you want any other facts and figures, we've got enough to, all your holiday reading, we can provide that. All kinds of suggestions, so there's no shortage of facts and figures and details there. And then the final thing I would mention is that we have moved our December meeting date. We've already talked about this. To December 14th, we're kind of splitting the difference. We're having one meeting. I would recommend that we have, I don't know what exactly will be on the agenda yet, but I would recommend that we have a work session that starts at 5:30. See where that goes. I don't know, again, what will be on the agenda, and then a regular session immediately following that, if everyone's okay. It's 5:30, fair enough. Okay. 5:30 on December 14th. If I can make one more comment, actually. On a somber note, you know, many of you know that Doug Ward passed away, and so I just wanted to acknowledge his service to the city. He was formerly a city councilor and currently on the Public Works Committee and on the Planning Commission. And, you know, for as much as Doug would get on me sometimes and give me a hard time, I always appreciated it. And he really cared about this community and about the people and what we're trying to accomplish. So I just wanted to give a nice shout out to Doug. So that's all.
Thank you. Any other staff?
Nope, I need some signatures on this IGA though afterwards.
We'll get
so I can send it off tomorrow.
Okay. Patty?
No, I don't have anything else.
Okay. Council?
I said all I have to say.
Yeah, you're up.
I'm sorry. I promised everybody come January 1st if everything works out, I'm not going to be just a one-man show. But everybody... I have to be right now. So anyways, I think, you know, like, we have a lot of people leaving the government. You know, we got Doug that's gone, Ken's leaving. I think we ought to have to start thinking about how we honor these people that's done so much work for the city, becoming a city. That's just a thought, just throwing that out there. As far as the ordinances, I have to say that, you know, the ordinances are not for us. The ordinance is for the people that come to us and want something done. And that includes sidewalk, roads, whatever ordinance we put in place, is because there's been complaints, we have the public coming to us, and we have to do something. We are a city, we're a city government, we work for the public. Enough on that one. And as far as the ATVs things, I had talked at the last seal the meeting for the mayors, and they do have people that plow. If your ATV has a plow on it, that means it's a plowing machine. I mean, so I don't think we need to put that in. The sheriff's department knows that. Of course, they aren't running up and down the roads with it. We don't run up and down the roads with our snow blowers or anything else. It's made, if it's got a plow on it, it's made to plow what the plow is used for. I mean, that's the comments, because I brought it up and I asked about it. So I don't think, you know, we could research that more, but I don't think it's necessary. If it's a plowing machine.
Get it in writing.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. That was pretty good, huh?
That's all they have to do.
Oh, this is just kind of a funny thing. What year were you born?
1998.
Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. I got a card in 1998. Man, I got a card in the mail. The first, when I got my bachelor's degree, it was 1972. Anyway, from Metropolitan State College, and you talk about Big Brother watching, this blew me away because I got a little card in the mail saying that we are so proud of you for running for office, trying to serve your community and all of that, but it blew me away. How on earth did Denver, Colorado know I was doing that up here? It's weird, but 1998, that really sets it in, doesn't it? So it was just interesting. It was kind of nice. Yeah.
They won't pick on you so much next time.
Okay.
TV show person of interest.
Yeah.
Watch that. That'll explain how they know. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Do you have anything?
I have no comment. This was
tell us a little bit. You know, what grade you're in, sports, hobbies.
I am a 12th grader at the Lapine High School. This is my senior year. I am 18 now, and I finally just finished my last fall sport of soccer, and we went to playoffs, and that was pretty cool. And I also do track. I'm pretty involved with, I used to be in student government all up until they changed it and had a very massive change in the student government of Lapine High. I was president for 3 years, and then when the opportunity came up to be on that council, I was like, yes, I would love this. And I very much enjoy it.
Good.
Well,
thank you.
Good having you.
Yeah. We'll eventually get away from these double meetings on the night. So it'll happen. As Corey mentioned, we did interview 4 people for the economic development position here at Lapine, and recommended 2 for further interviews with EDCO, and then they'll bring that back to us. So they're very interesting. Quite a wide variety of personalities, and yeah, interesting. And then, I don't know, I think along your lines, I did send an email out about getting something for the mayor upon his retirement, so I think that's a good idea. And for Doug, also, we need to definitely do something for that. And so for anyone out there that's within the city or even outside the city, we do have committees. We need to start getting some people involved. Committees, we always need someone to help. That's one ththing that was, I was at the Band of Brothers meeting this morning, and that was the topic was youth. We need to, because us old folks aren't going to be here forever, you know. We need to start Yes, Jim, that includes you.
Darn.
We need to start getting the younger folks
especially
involved.
Especially you.
So if you know of one, tell him or her to come down and just visit. Visit the staff. Come on down. And then, I know he's shying up, but we do have a new mayor-elect. He's sitting right here. He'll take office January 1. And then I want to put a plug in for December 17th, Wreaths Across America. Once again, we'll be remembering our veterans who gave their lives so that we could have our Christmases. They don't have a Christmas anymore. So we remember them at the holiday season. Senior Center, December 17th, 10 a.m. Cookies, more cookies, and coffee will be served. And we'll be presenting two flags, two American folded flags, one to the Band of Brothers and one to the Honor Guard of the American Legion. It's a pretty special event. Last year we presented one flag to the Senior Center that had flown over the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers. So it's a pretty emotional event. That's it. Do I have a motion?
I move that we close.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Move in second, all in favor?
Aye.
We're
done with the right.